I'm going to read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I read this last Sunday. I'm going to be talking along the same line this morning. So I'm going to read it again. 53rd chapter of Isaiah is a wonderful chapter. It's one of the great chapters of the Bible. And when I have read it, and I'd like for the young folks to come up here to the microphone and sing Jesus Paid It All. Can you do that? Okay. All right, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All right, now I'd like to have you come forward and sing that song.
Savior, say, thy strength is
53rd chapter of Isaiah that I read to you is a prophecy of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I'm dealing now with the thought of substitution. Then leading up to that for the last two Sundays. Now I'm going to deal with the substitute today. We have discussed the idea of the impossibility of any approach to God by human beings. There was no means of contact. And man could not redeem himself by any means. And there was no way of salvation except it come from a source outside of the human race. Redemption had to be accomplished righteously. One great text in my mind over in the Hebrew epistle says concerning Jesus that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Amen. Merciful and faithful. His mercy was toward us. His faithfulness was toward His Father. Amen. The plan of redemption had to be carried out in a way to protect the holiness and justice and righteousness of God. It must not be compromised in any way. Jesus was careful all the way through to protect His Father's honor.
Amen.
And He in no way compromised His Father's honor to accomplish redemption. To satisfy the demands of a just law, sin must be dealt with. It must be dealt with directly and thoroughly. And the penalty for sin was death. Death had to be paid for sin. But humankind could not redeem his own soul by his own life. The sacrifice had to be without spot or blemish, and God's Word said we were all as an unclean thing.
Amen.
Before Him. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, there was no man qualified to accomplish this. When no man was found, God made him a man. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 16, He said, God saw that there was no man, and He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore His arm brought salvation to him.
Amen.
And His right hand, it upheld him. His arm was Jesus Christ extended out to us. And Jesus undertook the project of redemption as a substitute for the human race that could not undertake their own project of redemption. The law demanded death for sin. And the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Therefore, Jesus, to satisfy the demands of a just law and to protect His Father's honor, He had to die. He had to shed His blood for sin. If God were to modify His law in any respect, to any degree, to allow a little bit of sin without any judgment on it, or if He were to compromise His penalty for sin, He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That could not be compromised. That's still true.
Amen.
Even though Christ has died for the sins of the whole world, many people are still going to die because they have unforgiven, unrepented of sins upon their soul and in their life. The fact that Christ died for the sins of the whole world doesn't save me. The fact that I believe that doesn't save me. I must believe that Christ died for me.
Amen.
And that He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. The idea of substitution is a great idea. When something is to be done and the one or the ones who are supposed to do it are unable to do it, then someone else is selected to stand in their stead and carry it through. A few Sundays ago, I related a substitutionary story to you. A man that I knew real well, he worked in the mines. And he was a saved man, but the crew that he worked with was just hard, rough, wicked miners. They were not saved. There was an accident at the mines and it caved in. And rock and boulders and dirt and everything coming down the shaft. And these men were down in there. The problem was to get out. This brother said, "Everybody get ready to get out." Says, "I'm saved. If it gets me, I'm ready to go. I'll be the last man out. Everybody else is going to go out before I do." And he kept ringing the bell, and they kept the tub running up and down, getting the men and bringing them out. And he just stayed in there. Says, "I'll be the last man out." Well, God had mercy on him and let him get out too. When he came up, the rocks and the boulders were just tumbling and showering, and he got hit a few times and just bruised up a little, but he got out. He could have gone out earlier. He was the foreman of the crew. He could have gone out earlier if he'd have chosen to do so. But he stood as a substitute for those other men. They weren't saved, and he was. And he'd make that sacrifice. Now, God fell on this scheme to bring about his plan of salvation. No one was found able to do it. In the 5th chapter of Revelation, in the first 5 verses, we've referred to this before in these messages. There was one sitting on a throne, and he had the book in his hand, written within and without, and sealed with 7 seals. And there was a cry going out through the whole area. "Behold, who is able to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof? Heaven and earth and under the earth were all searched, and no man was found able to do it." We've dealt with that thought already, but I want this text again in regard to one who was able to do it. One who stepped in and took the place of a substitute. And that was Jesus. As John looked on this scene and wept, one came to him and said, "Weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the offspring of David, has prevailed to open the book." Someone had been found. This was the man that God made. When he could find no man, he made him a man. His arm brought salvation to him. And he just made him a man, a special made man. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was both human and divine. He had a God part about him, and he had a human part about him. And in the human part, he could stand as a representative of the entire human race and make an acceptable sacrifice for sin, for them, because he himself knew no sin. In the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 21, it says, "God hath made him unto us salvation and redemption and righteousness." because he knew no sin.
Amen.
He was an immaculate, perfect, holy sacrifice that was qualified as a lamb without spot, without blemish, to make an acceptable sacrifice. He stood as a representative for the entire human race. In this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, in verse 8, he says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and God placed on him the iniquity of us all."
Yes.
Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, in verse 9, says, "We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Christ died for all, included everyone. In his redemption, Ephesians, the 1st chapter and verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood."
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But Christ shed his blood in our stead. Ours was not acceptable. Our life wouldn't have been acceptable as a sacrifice for our own sin. There was absolutely nothing that we could do. There was no means of contact between sinful man and holy God. So God stepped in and undertook the proposition of redemption by providing himself a man.
Amen.
A man that was acceptable. And he offered this sacrifice, poured out his soul, an offering unto death. And God saw the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, made a provision to satisfy the demands of a righteous law. Nothing was compromised. He was merciful to mankind to the very last. It took death, it took the shedding of his own blood to make an atonement for our sins. His mercy reached that toward us. But he was faithful toward his Father to protect his honor all the way through and pay the extreme penalty for sin in himself that satisfied the demands of a just law.
Amen.
Without Jesus, there would be no salvation. Somebody said, a while back, said, "I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I got a mind of my own, and I'm a good man. I live a good life. I don't need God, and I don't need Jesus." Bless his heart. I'm afraid things are going to turn out bad for that man.
Yes, Lord.
Now he says here in the first chapter of 1 Peter, verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot."
Yes, amen.
His nature was immaculate, holy, sinless. And therefore his sacrifice was acceptable. He was without spot or a blemish. I couldn't bear your sins. I had my own to bear. You couldn't bear mine for the same reason. But Jesus Christ could bear the sins of all of us because he had none. He had no sin at all, and God just put on him the sin of all of us. And he stood as a representative and as a substitute for the entire human family, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 11 and 12, he says, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Yeah. For us. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah said, "Surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." And Christ did all the suffering. He was wounded. Standing in our place, we receive all of the benefits.
Yeah.
For every sacrifice that Jesus made, and for every pain he suffered, and for every drop of blood that he spilled on Calvary, we receive the benefits of that. He made the sacrifice. He stood in our stead, that we through him might receive the benefits of a sinless sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
Someone has said, and it's rather beautifully said, about the crucifixion of Jesus. He was in the middle, on the middle cross, a thief on either side. There was a penitent thief over here, and he repented and asked for mercy, said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus took time out in his dying gasp to speak to that fellow and say, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." In other words, it seems to me that he might have said it like this: "I'm going to paradise today, and I'll come by and pick you up on the way. And you can just go on in with me." There was the other, a rebellious, bitter soul, railing out on Jesus. Someone has beautifully said that on that day, there was someone dying in sin. On the other side was someone dying to sin. In the middle was someone dying for sin.
Amen.
That was Jesus, dying for the sins of the whole world, tasting death for every man. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 and 5, he says, "When the fullness of the times had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman." Now that's important. "Made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons."
Amen.
Made of a woman. Now that's a special something. That's important. Made of a woman. Man never featured in this at all. If you notice all the genealogies of the scriptures, they run down the male side. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and he begat so-and-so, and he begat so-and-so. There's one exception to this, and that is that God said to the woman and the serpent, he was dealing with them together, He said, the seed of the woman. Every other time mentioned in the Bible, it's the seed of the man, the father, on down the line. But here he said, the seed of the woman. And in fulfillment of this scripture, Jesus Christ came forth in due time, born of the Virgin Mary, without an earthly father. And the scripture said he was made of a woman.
Yes,
came forth of a woman. It had to be this way. He couldn't have been begotten of man without being a partaker of the natural depravity that has fallen on the entire human family like a blanket from Adam. Then his sacrifice wouldn't have been any better than ours. He would have had spots and blemishes on him and a depraved nature, like we came here with. But God bypassed the man, the idea of an earthly father, made of a woman a man through the operation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And brought forth a holy seed that was able to make a sacrifice for sin. And he came to redeem them that were under the law. Isaiah 53 and 8 says, for the transgression of my people was he smitten. That's great, folks. For our transgressions. That ought to humble us. That ought to break our hearts. After all, the objective of the gospel message is to break hard hearts.
Amen.
If the plain, simple gospel message of dying love and redeeming sacrifice won't break the hardest hearts, they'll never be broken.
Amen.
Just the story of salvation, plain and simple, the old, old story. They sang the song here this morning in the service. I love to tell the story.
Yes.
There's another one says, tell me the story of Jesus. The old, old story. But it never grows old. It's new, it's important all the time, the story of Jesus.
Amen.
As our substitute and as a redeemer for the human race. For the sins of the whole world. Sins of the world laid upon him. That's the thing that broke Jesus. We look at him out there sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, and we think, well, what's the matter with the man? Being in agony like that. These thieves, we don't read anything about them being like that. What's the matter with Jesus? Was he weaker than they? I trial not.
Amen.
But there was something else taking place here.
Oh, God.
Sin was falling on him. And holiness, in which he was perfect, resents sin. And the more holy one is, the more they resent sin. You can measure your degree of purity of heart and holiness of life before God by the attitude that you have towards sin. And what you'll allow and what you won't allow. And how sin affects you. Jesus being infinitely holy, he was infinitely opposed and resentful towards sin. Just to that same degree. Now sin was falling on him. And he couldn't bear it. He couldn't bear up under the idea of sin touching him. It was my sins and yours that were being laid upon a sinless man. Oh, I feel how it ought to break us. How it ought to humble our hearts way down in the dust. And bring us prostrate at the cross of Jesus Christ to recognize the fact that we had an individual personal part in sending an innocent man to his death. But that's just the way it was. It's one of two things. If Jesus didn't bear your sins, then you have no redemption. If he did bear your sins, you had that much personal responsibility in sending an innocent man to his death. That ought to break our hearts. We ought not to be able to sleep at night thinking, I sent an innocent man to his death. And until we will recognize that fact, there's no salvation for us. Even though Jesus died for the whole world, that doesn't save me till I recognize that He died for me. God placed on Him the iniquity of us all, but that doesn't set me free till I recognize that my iniquities were laid on Him. Amen. Salvation in its provision is universal, but in its application, it's individual. And everyone must accept the terms of salvation for himself. The only means of salvation is for us to recognize that Christ died for me. Not for all, just for me. That's what's going to save me.